What's up, guys? This is Scott from Iron Will Strength. This is episode 197, Strong the Iron Will Way. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts to listen to, the MF CEO Project, if you like stuff like this. And he curses a lot more than I do. So if you can deal with that and you like this kind of stuff, probably the best podcast that I, definitely the most consistent podcast that I listen to, and my favorite one. Might not be everybody's cup of tea, but I love it. So anyway, was listening to one of Andy Frisella's podcasts this morning. He's who hosts the MF CEO Project. And I don't know if it was a current one or an old one, but it was really good. He was talking about having... His is an entrepreneurial-based podcast, so he was talking about specifically to people who might be working in a company but want to move up in that company, that they have to take ownership and start acting like the position they want. So, for example, someone wants to be the manager of a certain department. They have to acquire the skills and act and behave like a manager in order to be offered that position. Many times people in companies think the opposite way, that, you know, once I get the manager job, I'll start acting like a manager and doing all these manager things, right? Even if it's something as simple as, I don't know, somebody works in a warehouse and he dresses maybe a little bit sloppy because he just works in the warehouse. So in his mind, he's like, doesn't matter how I dress. And he's thinking, well, if I ever got hired as manager, I know that I would tuck my shirt in and wear my khakis or whatever the hell that would be. But meanwhile, what Andy's saying is, hey, if you hope to get the manager job, start dressing like that. Start dressing nicely now. Start taking care of your appearance and start organizing things and taking charge when you can and just carry yourself like a manager. And then maybe you'll get offered the manager position. So it got me thinking about a story that happened kind of before... Pretty much what got Iron Will going. And I don't know, I just feel like this might be something that you guys would appreciate and take something from. I think a lot of these stories, they might not directly correlate to training and the gym. As I've mentioned before, I know a lot of you guys listening have your own businesses or are starting your own businesses, so this would definitely apply to that. But I think somehow we're going to be able to tie this into workout stuff too. But anyway, it's a good life thing. So as many of you guys might know, but maybe you won't, Iron Will opened approximately 3.5 years ago now. And some of you have heard a bunch of episodes back, I did kind of an origin story of how it started, but I'll tell you again a little bit of a recap. My wife and I lived in Miami. Well, we lived in New York City, where we met, and I was a personal trainer, and I worked as a personal trainer at a very kind of high-end gym line called Crunch Fitness in New York. And all I did was train people. I wasn't a manager. I wasn't anything in charge of anybody except training my clients. And I probably trained 9 to 11 sessions every day, Monday through Friday. And that was my full-time job, and I loved it. And that's all I did. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law moved to Miami and were interested in opening up a fitness training franchise with some other people, and they reached out to me to get my opinion on it and see if I'd be interested in it. I thought it sounded very appealing to A, live in Florida, and B, be a partner with my brother-in-law in a fitness business. So we did it. We basically kind of took all of our money and all of our stuff and headed south. We lived there for 5 to 6 years, had both of my kids there, but Florida and Miami just wasn't the place for us, so we decided we needed to move back up north and figure out what to do. So my partner and I sold the training studios, and I moved back up here, and I was hired by the parent company, the franchise company that we had owned franchises of, right? So just if that's confusing, imagine if we owned 3 Dunkin' Donuts locations, we sold them, and I got hired by the corporate office of Dunkin' Donuts, right? So it was called Fitness Together. They hired me so I could work from home and do, I basically kind of did consulting for them with other locations. So I did that for a few years, and it was a little, it just wasn't, if you guys know me now and see what I'm doing now, it just wasn't enough of this for me. There was nothing, there was no real problem with the job. I enjoyed the job, I worked with some great people, but I just needed to have my hands in the dirt, so to speak. I needed to be in a gym. I needed to be just doing more than I was doing, and I felt this kind of creative urge that was kind of being squashed. So I knew I had to do something. I was being called to do something more, but I didn't know exactly what that was at the time. Again, I had a full-time job with them, so I didn't have a lot of time to work on the side. You know, I'd kind of get up early and start thinking about what I could do, you know, before my other job hours began. So I started doing some writing. I heard from an old client of mine who asked, you know, what I was doing. I told him, and he was like, "Hey, you really need to still be training people. I hope you are. You have a gift for it. That's what you should be doing." So I thought, oh man, you know, I got to get back into that. So I started doing some online training. I thought that was a way I could maximize my time. Did a little bit of that, but I found that to be a little bit dissatisfying as well, because I didn't really have as much personal connection with people as I would like. So I'm really struggling at this point, trying to figure out what to do. And it was Kristen, that my wife, who said, "Hey, you just gotta start training people again. You know, just get out there and train people. Like, find a place to go and just start training some people in the morning before your other job starts." And it was so obvious. And it's just something that, I don't know, hadn't occurred to me. And I, at that point, was literally not thinking anything beyond just doing something that I enjoyed, making some extra money, and getting my hands back on the iron and with some people. So I just started doing that. And then as I started doing that, I realized, like, oh man, I really missed this. You know, this is really my thing. You guys have heard this a million times, so if you have, I'm sorry if I'm trying to kind of cut it short. I was offered an opportunity to buy the gym that I was working out of. At first, I immediately declined it, because I definitely didn't want the stress and responsibility that came with owning a business that I had before. So I said no. This guy came back to me a couple times, really, really wanting to kind of sell it. So I sat down and we thought about it, and I said, you know what, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I've been thinking about. Maybe that's what I need to do. You know, the idea of having a gym, but this one of my own, where I could be in complete control of the business model, the branding, the way things are done, everything. The problem for me with a franchise was that's all done for you. You don't have a lot of room to use your own creativity. So it's a great way to learn a business, but it's hard if you're a creative person that has a clear vision, because you can't change anything. You can't change the colors. You can't change the way things are done. You can't change the way the marketing is, anything. So this was an opportunity for me to do it my way. So I said, you know what, fuck it, let's do this. And Kristen agreed it was time, and this was my calling, and let's go. And so we said yes to the deal, and unfortunately, you know, over the next couple months, that deal fell through, which will ultimately have turned out to be a blessing. But at the time, it was really kind of heartbreaking, because I had really, like, you know, started, my wheels were turning, and I had pieces of paper up all over my wall in my office with ideas of what it was going to look like, what I was going to call it, what the name was going to mean, everything, how I was going to run. And so when that fell through, I found myself again in this position of, what am I going to do? And at that point, things were a little bit weird at the gym that I was going to buy once the deal fell through. So I started looking around at other gyms to train people out of. Now, meanwhile, I was really, like, you know, very close to buying this gym, and now I'm back to square one. So I go to this other facility that allows outside trainers, talk to the guy there. And the guy there obviously knows very little about this business. He seems like he's fairly new at it. But he's got a decent gym that I could possibly train people at. So we talk for a while. And then he says to me, yeah, it's definitely, just get me, you know, a copy of your certification and a couple letters of recommendation from clients. And then I went out to my car and I said, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I have 25 years of experience in this business. I've been training people since I was 22 years old. I've been a partner in owning a business. I've worked for a franchise company in this business. I've done I've been the top personal trainer in a huge company for 5 years in a row, and this guy with no experience at all in this field is asking me for a fucking certification and letters of recommendation. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this picture, right? I should be asking somebody for letters of recommendation. I should be asking for somebody for certifications. Like, this guy should be asking me for a fucking job, right? So that was the moment that it hit me that no one was going to come. There was no, you know, you guys have heard me. There's no fucking gym fairy, right? There's no person, there's no fairy who's going to come along and give you the title or the opportunity that you think you deserve or you should have. It's up to you to decide to create it, take it, make it somehow, okay? So that was the moment that I realized I got to stop looking around for someone to work for or work with or give me permission to do something. Maybe that was it, right? I was kind of waiting for this somebody to recognize, you know, my ability. And instead I just realized nobody's going to recognize that until I do. And it was up to me to make decisions now to take control. So I came home and talked to Kristen and we decided, hey, let's open our own, forget going to rent space from this guy. Let's open something, you know, open your own thing. So I think that just speaks to ownership of what you want to do with your life and not waiting for permission for somebody to give you kind of validation that you can do it. Now, again, Andy talks about this a lot, and I would stress, this does not mean that everybody needs to quit their job and go open their own business. Not everybody is cut out for that. In fact, most people are not. There's a lot that goes into, you know, having your own business in terms of being able to tolerate risk and stress and anxiety and specific skill set that you need that not everybody has. It doesn't mean it, and it's any better or any worse than anything else. People can live a very fulfilling life and career by being very influential in the company that they work for. So don't mistake this podcast to mean that everybody has to go quit their job and open their own thing. What I'm saying, though, is that if you have something that you want to aspire to within your company or on your own, decide what that is, and like Andy said, begin to act in that way. Begin to acquire the skills that it takes to do that job so that you're prepared for it. You know, people always talk about luck being, you know, when preparation meets opportunity, and I would 100% agree with that. Another quick example is back when I was in Florida, I found out that the Biggest Loser was hiring coaches. They were looking for a new coach because someone was leaving the show. They wanted a new coach for that TV show. So I said, I can't even believe this opportunity exists. Like, holy shit, I'm totally going to do this. I'm going to get on that show, and that's going to be my thing. So I start, you know, look up the website of all the requirements. And they said, okay, submit your years of experience, what you've, you know, your background, your education, your certifications, and then send us your YouTube channel and how many Instagram followers you have. And I was like, oh. At the time, I didn't have an Instagram account, and I didn't have a YouTube channel. So that was the moment that it hit me that I wasn't prepared for this opportunity. So I submitted my stuff, I talked to the person who was doing the thing, but I knew right there I wasn't prepared. You know, that's the stuff you got to do ahead of time so that you're ready. You got to start building that YouTube channel, build that Instagram, have the reputation, so when the opportunity comes up, bam, I'm ready to fill it, right? So it's very much the same thing. If you have all the skills, you know, if someone's going to say, hey, I would like to hire you to take this position of somebody that just quit, and I'll give you a year to acquire all the skills, that'd be great. But that's not how it works. How it works is you have to say, you know what, one day I want to do this position in this company. In order to do that, I need to understand finance and managing people and XYZ. You start listening to audiobooks and podcasts and reading and watching YouTube videos about that to get better at that. So you have the skill set. So your superior, you know, your bosses know that you can do all this stuff. So when that person quits, or when that person gets fired, or when that person gets promoted, and that spot opens up, you're ready to slide right in because you have the skill set. You're not going to have time to say, oh, I really wanted this opportunity, but now give me 6 months to go learn all those skills. That's not how it works, right? The Biggest Loser was not going to give me 6 months to put together a YouTube channel, put together an Instagram following to prove that I was somebody worth having on the show. It was already too late. So I'm not sure what you're going to take from this, you guys, but hopefully there's something to be learned from this story. Because every time I think about it, it is a good reminder for me to kind of own it. And, you know, one last thing, I was listening to Randall Pitch today. He's a CEO of Live Fit, and he's talking about his apparel company. And, you know, same thing. He had a hard time in the beginning putting out his YouTube videos and Instagram stuff because he was, like all of us are, self-conscious at first and, you know, concerned about what people would think and what his friends would say, and people would, you know, make fun of him, like, oh, who are you to be putting out these videos, and, you know, you think you're all that, or, you know, you just, there's a lot of kind of insecurity around putting yourself out there like that. But when he finally decided that, hey, this is my business, this is how I'm going to make, I have to make a living, I have to do this stuff, it's not optional, and it doesn't matter what my friends think, because they're not paying my bills, it matters what my potential customers think, or my followers think, and then he just did it, and he just owned it. That spoke to me too, because that's a hard thing to do, is just decide that you're going to start doing it. You know, again, I've referenced this before, this podcast is close to 200 episodes. I think we've been doing this for about 2 years now. Nobody ever gave me permission to do it. Nobody ever showed me how to do it. Nobody ever said, would you like to come and be on mine? Nobody said, yo, you should, this is how you do it, and you should do it, and you'll be great at it. I just decided that I was listening to a couple, and I liked it, and I thought that many of the conversations I have with clients on a daily basis would be helpful for other clients to hear, and that's how this started. And then, you know, the more I kept doing it, it became like, oh, this is something that comes fairly easy to me and that I enjoy, and people are finding value, so I kept doing it. But if I had still been waiting for someone to tell me I should do it, someone to tell me I could do it, someone to tell me how to do it, or to make sure that it was going to be perfect. I mean, it's episode 196, I think I said, and I'm still in my Jeep holding my iPhone up and recording it like that. I don't have any equipment. I don't have anything fancy, which is why sometimes the sound quality sucks, which is why sometimes you hear my blinker and my keys. But you know what? It's 200 episodes. I've gotten feedback from people that listening to this has helped them a whole lot. And if that's all that it ever does, that's pretty good for me. So I guess the point is, don't wait for permission from others to do what you want to do and what you need to do. Own it and take the responsibility of acquiring the skills and doing the things necessary to get where you want to be, and do it. Have a great day, you guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.